This presentation is sponsored by Lumina Foundation as part of WFYI's American Graduate Let's Make It Happen initiative, made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Lumina Foundation's goal is to increase the percentage of Americans with high-quality degrees and credentials to 60% by the year 2025. Goal 2025 is focused especially on adults, first-generation college students, low-income students, and students of color.
Good evening, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming this evening. I had the honor of serving kids and families in Indianapolis as the Indianapolis Director of Stanford Children. My name is Kariga Rausch, and we're just so pleased that some of you decided to brave the weather and the impending rainstorms that are coming to come and spend some time this evening thinking about school options that are available in our community. We usually do this in a much more informal setting, around, you know, small tables with good group conversations. We're actually recording this evening, and that will be then webcast and podcast and be online so that families can access this training in an online format. So please excuse our formality this evening as we go through this. We usually do this in a much kind of smaller, more intimate setting. But regardless, thank you for coming this evening. Want to take a special moment to thank the Indianapolis Marion County Library for being such tremendous hosts this evening and for all of their conversations on education series. Library is truly a leader in ensuring that our community is really thinking and talking about the importance of education in our community. So thank you again to the library for this opportunity. So while you're sitting here, hopefully you have seen the screen before, and if you wouldn't mind, please filling out the top portion of your survey. We thrive on continuous improvement at Stanford Children. We want to make sure that the information and things that we're providing are meeting your needs. So if you wouldn't mind, please taking just a minute or two to fill out the top part of the packet of information that you got coming in here. That would be absolutely terrific for us. So I'll give you a brief primer on Stanford Children so you know who we are, as well as a number of our partners that are here engaged in this work with us. And then we will spend some time actually going through a light version of the kind of training we do in a more kind of intimate setting so that you can get a flavor of the kind of information and the kind of approach that we take in making sure that parents have outstanding information to make the best choice and the best fit of schools for their children. So Stanford Children, our mission is to ensure that all children, regardless of their background, graduate from high school prepared for and with access to a college education. We do that in four primary ways. The first is in order to realize our mission, we work with parents and teachers and other concerned community folks to mobilize and organize to demand excellent schools and the conditions that our teachers and our students need to do their very best work. We then advocate for policies and investments at the local and state level and to make sure that we are creating indeed the right conditions for kids to be successful. Third, it's not enough just to get a new law or policy passed and to clap and say, woohoo, we got something new happening. It's really important that those policies and investments that we advocate for are implemented effectively so that they actually reach the intended recipients, which are primarily our teachers and our students. And then fourth, we will elect and work with our members to elect champions for office at a local level and at a state level, those who believe in the values that we all adhere to and making sure that those values are embedded into our leadership system in the electoral stage and at the electoral level. So here's what we hope you walk away tonight with this evening. We hope that you have a good understanding of the five different major options that parents have in accessing a school here in Indianapolis. Hope you walk away with an understanding of how to identify high quality school options. Third, how to identify and select schools that are appropriate to your child and individual children's needs that you have, and that you know where to go for additional information about the Indianapolis School Chooser. As I indicated, we are giving you kind of a high-level overview of the training that we do in a smaller setting so that you should walk away with knowing how to do these things. You'll hear more in the presentation about if you want to go deeper with a smaller group of people to really delve into the chooser more, to delve into your family's needs more, to delve into your kids' needs at a more detailed level, where you can go to meet with other groups of parents going through the same thing and looking for a great school for their kid and have those good conversations together. You'll hear more about opportunities to do that toward the end of our conversation. So how did this Indianapolis school chooser come to be? Well, we are fortunate in Indianapolis to have a number of different options so that parents have a chance to choose from. But in our work and really doing a good job of listening to lots of parents and teachers across our community, we also heard that the process of choosing a school can be very intimidating, can be daunting, and there's just so much information that's not in kind of an easy to access format for folks. And so we heard parents asking a lot of questions like, you know, what are all the school options that are available in my neighborhood? You know, what is the difference between a magnet school and a public charter school, a private school, or a traditional neighborhood school? You know, we heard questions asked, parents ask questions like, how do I know if this is the best fit for my child? This is also very personal for me. I'm a father of two young girls, a six-year-old and a four-year-old. And those parents who were here with us know that even similar kids from the same family can be vastly different in what their needs and their needs are. So really being thoughtful about what is the exact right fit, you know, for my child, and then where can I find more information. So we realized that there was not a location and a comprehensive source of information for parents in our city, nor was there a mechanism by which families could get help in delving through all of the choices that they had. So we decided to do a landscape of kind of, this isn't the only city in the country that's dealing with having a lot of different options. And in our landscape search, we found an amazing partner in Great Schools. And you'll hear from Jody Goldberg here in a little bit about our partnership. They have done a very similar guide in three other communities across the country that have been just tremendous successes for kids and families. So instead of recreating the wheel, we said, there's a great expert in how to do this work. Let's partner together to figure out what we can do collectively for kids and families in our community. Then we were just so fortunate to have a number of other partners that decided to join in this work, including the Indiana Non-Public Schools Association, School Choice Indiana, the Charter School Association, the Indiana Department of Education, the Indiana Partnership Center, and then we were just fortunate to have all 11 school districts in Indianapolis also participate, a number of which their logos are up here on the screen. So this was really a cross-sector effort and really designed to make sure that this isn't about the kind of school. This is really about making sure parents have access to information to choose the best school for their kids. So all those folks coming together created the Indianapolis School Chooser. We have about 15,000 copies of it, of this chooser. We'll be actually going through the process now of updating and getting another 20,000 in advance to be hopefully be distributed in November of this year for the 13-14 academic year. Have multiple copies in both English and Spanish for those of you watching at home and need an access to a Spanish version of the guide. At this point, I would we have had a wonderful partnership with Great Schools. And at this time, I would like to bring Jody Goldberg up to talk a little bit more about Great Schools and the tremendous work that they're doing on behalf of kids and families across the country and here in Indianapolis.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jody Goldberg, and I am the Director of Local Programs for Great Schools. Great Schools is a national nonprofit organization. It's mostly a website. It was founded in 1998 by a gentleman who was asked to produce an online way for all of the new dot-comers to figure out which school would work for them for their kids. And he figured if it was good enough for the dot-comers, it was good enough for everybody. And so now we actually serve about 41 million different viewers every year. So 44% of all the people with children K through 12 visit our site annually. At least this year they did. We're located in San Francisco, but we do have local programs here in Indianapolis is our newest one. I am from Milwaukee, and our program has been there since 2007. We also have a DC program. It's very convenient to have multiple locals because we can compare and contrast. So a lot of the information you're getting now is because parents in DC wanted to know the same kinds of things. Parents in Dayton, Ohio wanted to know the same thing. Parents in Newark, New Jersey. You have to know certain things in order to figure out, is this the right school for me and my children? Our mission at Great Schools is to help parents become more effective champions of education in their homes and communities. What we actually do at Great Schools is we try and provide a compelling and specific vision of education excellence. We want to provide the knowledge, skills, and habits to to help kids and schools reach high standards. We're for community of parents for mutual support and advocacy, and we produce guides like the one here in Indianapolis to schools and other education resources. So we try and combine digital media, our online things, with on-the-ground supports to help parents. And Indianapolis is a unique site because in DC and in Milwaukee, Great Schools actually does the on-the-ground work. But because here in Indianapolis, you already had wonderful organizations who are doing amazing outreach with parents, Great Schools only produces the guide here, and Stanford Children and other partners like School Choice Indiana and the Charter Schools Association work with parents one-to-one. At Great Schools, we try and connect and support each other around schools and students. We help parents choose higher performing schools that best match the family's needs. We want parents to understand what it looks like when a child is on track in reading and math. And so the guide is one type of school selection information. We have other supports. Our On Track product shows you, if you have a first grader, what should they be doing in reading? There's little video clips that say, this is what a skill in first grade reading looks like. Can your child do that? In third grade, this is what they should be able to do in math. Is your child doing that? So you can see what On Track looks like. We also have supports for helping parents support education excellence at home. We have a program called College Bound, and it doesn't start in high school. It actually starts with five-year-olds in kindergarten. And so it helps you figure out, again, little video lessons, little clips to help you develop persistence, that helps you figure out what to do if your child is not super excited about homework, or if you're having communication issues with your teachers and your children, so things like that. We also want parents to understand how to recognize and demand quality in your child's education. It's very true that we all think that our school is very good and that it's those other schools that aren't. And sometimes it's hard to tell what your child really should be able to do because you love your teachers and you love your principals and you assume that things are okay. But if you don't have anything to compare it to, you can't really know. And Great Schools has online materials that can help you figure that out. For the school chooser, we collect data from lots of different sources. The first data, and you saw the partner up there, was the Indiana Department of Education. They monitor all your test scores, they keep track of your attendance, they do a lot of those important kinds of things. And so that information comes to us through websites that are already existing, through data that's already collected. So our data at Great Schools should match the data that you're seeing on your own websites here. We collect it in one place. The thing that's special about what we do is we have an online data collection system. So schools each have their own place to go in and answer questions. You can see there are eight different buttons up there, eight different pages. So you can see schools enter information about school basics, about their instructional model, about their extracurricular activities. And the school goes in and does all that, and then it allows you to sort for specific kinds of things. And this is important because right now you have the online guide, but by October 1st, Stanford Children is also going to be working with you on going online and being able to compare and contrast schools and take that large number that you have and funnel it down to the three or four schools that you really want to explore more deeply. And this is our mechanism. So most of our information comes from either state or national databases, a lot of it from the schools themselves, because it's the touchy-feely stuff that you also want to know. And that's the way we allow schools to do that. Thank you.
So we are very, very excited about the online capacity that's going to be coming later on this year. And it's just going to be just so tremendous for a lot of us that are going through the choosing process and really understanding, right, what's the universe of choices that's available to me given my own unique family circumstances, and how can I go about narrowing that pool down of schools. This evening, we want to spend some time talking about the print guide, because we also heard from a lot of our families here that having something kind of tangible that you can read through and mark up and look at, right? Something that's really important. And so we're going to kind of walk through that. Before getting into that part, we want to make sure we kind of set the landscape and kind of talk about Indianapolis, because it's, I think, important. And a lot of parents that we've listened to have a sense of their options and a sense of what things are available, but we all need to get better understanding the different access points that are available. So as we think about kind of our city, the city of Indianapolis, we know that we have 11 traditional public school districts, which we in here in Indiana call school corporations, that are not exactly matched with our townships, but loosely coordinated with our township system. We know that our city is the 11th largest city in the country, and that we've got roughly about 160,000 students in the city of Indianapolis. About 89% of our students are attending public schools, including public charter schools, and about 11% of our students are attending private schools here in the city. As we think about really the five major options that we want to briefly walk through before I introduce Veronica, that's really going to walk through the information that's available in the chooser. Important that we've categorized these as neighborhood schools, out-of-district schools, public charter schools, public magnet schools, and private schools. And we're going to walk through each of those five options to give you a little bit of information as you're looking through the guide that'll be helpful, because there are some access, transportation, and financial information that's important to know about these different kinds of schools as you're examining your options. So really starting with neighborhood schools. Important to point out that we have we sent an invitation to all of our 11 school districts to participate. Some were able to, some weren't. Really fortunate to have three of our public school districts that are here. We have Dr. Billy Moore from the Indianapolis Public Schools that's here with us. We have Renita Hills from the Metropolitan School District of Lawrence Township that's here with us. And we have Melody Stevens from Beech Grove Community Schools that are with us. And so fortunate at the end, as you're looking through the guide and then want to talk to some other folks outside, you'll be able to do that and to actually talk to some folks that have some options they want to tell you about. So as we think about neighborhood schools, these are schools that we typically think of the schools that most of our kids go to. So these are schools that you're generally assigned. So when you move into a location and you access the district will typically tell you, here is the school that's closest to you and that you're assigned to go to. All of Indianapolis districts have policies that govern in-district attendance options. So if you live, for example, in Washington Township, there is an assigned school that's typically the school that's closest to you. But then Washington Township has a set of policies that govern your ability to go to a different Washington Township school. But as we talk about neighborhood schools, we're generally talking about those schools that are assigned to you based on where you live. Eight of the 11 Indianapolis school corporations offer transportation to the school that you're assigned to go to. And most of them will also offer transportation to schools within their district, but that may not be your assigned school. They are open enrollment, but there are capacity rules within districts. So if you want to go to a school that you're not assigned to go to, but it's still a neighborhood school in that district, typically the district has a set of policies that will govern your ability to go, and it's usually based on the capacity or size of that school. And then finally, our neighborhood schools are tuition-free, and they are, however, just like every school, allowed to charge program fees. So we've heard from a lot of parents that that was something that was new that they didn't understand, that there are some districts that will charge, for example, a textbook rental fee or a technology fee or other kinds of fees, and those things are allowed by Indiana law. Not all do, but some do. We'll charge kind of those fees, so just to be aware. So that's kind of one big option in terms of our neighborhood schools. Second, and this is one that we haven't heard from a lot of parents that they're fully aware that this is an option, and that is to go to a traditional public school outside of your district. So this is an example of if you live in Pike Township, for example, but want to go to a great school in Wayne Township, you have the ability to do that. And so not a lot of parents really know that with some of the property tax reform laws that were passed a few years ago, it made the process of being able to go to a school outside of your district easier. There are still rules that govern that we'll get into how that process works. So we have about 181 schools that are run by districts. They're typically, all the school districts we've had conversations with, they do not offer transportation for students if you live outside of their district boundaries. So again, if you live in Pike Township and want to go to school in Wayne Township, if Wayne Township accepts you, then it would be incumbent on you to provide transportation to that school. Typically, Wayne Township and all the other school corporations don't provide that as an option. The enrollment is restricted, and one of the things you'll hear more about as we go through the chooser is that each school corporation is allowed to set its own rules on whether or not to accept students who live outside of that district, and second, what criteria they want to use in order to accept students from outside of that district. So if you live in Perry Township and want to go to a school in Franklin Township, the Franklin Township School District is able to say, do we accept out-of-district students or not? And what are the rules or what are the criteria that we want to have for students outside of the district? And it varies widely. From some districts will say, we'll take anybody as long as we have space. Others will say you have to have a certain grade point average. You have to have no disciplinary infractions and a lot of other criteria. So it varies widely. You can get a lot of great information in the chooser about that. And obviously, district schools will prioritize those students that live in their district more than over others. No tuition, specific tuition for transferring from going from one school corporation to another, although there are those fees that are still able to be drawn. And in some cases, districts may charge an out-of-district transfer fee, just as an FYI. So third major option are our public charter schools. So currently in Indianapolis, we have 26 public charter schools. They are public schools in the sense that they have to be open to any student actually that resides in the state of Indiana. That's important to note that it doesn't matter where you live, you have to be given an equal access to attend a public charter school. And they usually do that. If they are oversubscribed, they'll have a lottery. And that's actually by law what they have to do in order to admit students. Important about public charter schools is that they are mission specific, meaning that they have a very specific kind of mission and focus regarding the students that are best served by that school. One great example I think about is the Hope Academy, for example, which is a school on the northeast side of Indianapolis that's a college preparatory school designed specifically for students who are in recovery from substance and alcohol abuse. Right? That's a terrific fit for some students, not a great fit for other students. And you'll find that with a lot of different charter schools. That's very important to pay attention to what their mission is and the type of students they're desiring to serve. Which is also true of magnet schools. We'll get to that here in a second. Transportation, public charter schools here in Indianapolis, almost all of them do provide transportation. For elementary and middle school students, that's typically at pickup points. So the school will look at where do we have a majority of kids coming from and provide a transportation pickup point. So it's a parent's responsibility to get that student to that pickup point, but then the school will get that student from that pickup point to school and back to that pickup point. At the high school level, most charter high schools provide free Indigo bus passes, and a lot of them are located off of Indigo bus lines as their transportation option. There are few charter high schools that offer kind of the yellow school bus typical transportation. It's usually through an Indigo bus pass. They must be open, as I indicated before, to any student that wants to enroll. And there is a lottery and a wait list if that school is oversubscribed. And that's actually very clearly written out in the law regarding how charter schools have to admit students no matter where they reside. They are tuition free, like all the other options we've talked about. However, they are able to charge program fees. Fourth big option, and growing, especially in the Indianapolis public schools, as well as in Lawrence Township, are public magnet schools. So they are public, again, in the sense that they have to admit any student that wants to go to school there. Much like public charter schools, most of them have a very specific kind of mission or very specific theme or very specific instructional approach. Which again means that they're going to be a great fit for some kids, may not be the best fit for other kids. Again, growing in IPS and Lawrence Township. Transportation varies widely. There are IPS, for example, for any student that resides in the IPS district, they do provide transportation for those students no matter kind of where they live. It varies in other places that have magnet options regarding the extent of transportation that is provided. But we are not aware of any magnet schools that offer transportation for students who live outside of those district boundaries. Enrollment is restricted, and it depends on focus, meaning that our public magnet schools are able to make sure that the school is the best fit. Some of them are open and function like public charter schools, where if they have space, they'll take you. If they have more space than capacity, more enrollment than capacity, they'll have a lottery. Then there are some that do have a more restricted enrollment. One example is the performing arts program at Broad Ripple, for example, right, where they have some requirements around your ability to be able to enroll in parts of that school, not the entire school, but particular programs, magnet programs within that school. No tuition, but again, can charge program fees. Our fifth major category of school options, and then I'm going to turn this over to Veronica so you can really talk about the good stuff in the chooser. And that's that we've got 44 K through 2 through 12 private schools in Indianapolis. They can be faith-based or non-faith-based, fully autonomous in their operations, curriculum, and approach. Very much like magnet programs and public charter schools, most of our private schools have a particular focus and a particular method of instruction. Transportation varies by school to school. There really is no kind of consistent information we can provide you. There are some private schools that have a robust transportation system, some private schools that don't offer transportation at all. It just varies widely from school to school. They are able to restrict their enrollment, so you do have to apply to attend a private school, and those enrollment criteria vary widely from school to school. You'll get some of that information in the chooser, but important to note that enrollment is restricted and is on an application basis. And that they are able to set their own admission requirements and timeline. Tuition, yes, private schools do charge tuition. The amounts vary by school. You'll see in the chooser we provide, we ask each of the private schools who participated to provide a range of what their tuition typically is for a student so that you have that in your mind. Important to note that most of our private schools do offer financial aid through the form of scholarships, through the forms of scholarship tax credits, and with our newly enacted voucher program that provides a tuition subsidy to attend a private school in our community. Very high level overview of our five options. Now for the stuff that I think you're gonna be the most excited about, and that's the stuff that's in the chooser that can really help you think through the options that are available for you. So with that, I'm gonna turn this over to our terrific training and engagement coordinator, Veronica Lucena, who is going to walk you through some information that you'll get in the chooser. And I'm sorry, before Veronica comes up, there are some other folks here that I neglected to mention, haven't written here in my notes, but just skipped over them. Sarah Overshiner from the Indiana Public Charter School Association is here. We also are just so fortunate to have a couple of folks from School Choice Indiana that really help with parent access with private schools. We've got Kent and we've got Marissa Lynch here from School Choice Indiana that are also just here to be a resource to you on the tables outside. Veronica.
Hello, thank you. So I want to thank you guys all for joining us tonight. We have a lot of great information to cover. We're not handing out the choosers now. We're actually going to have you guys get them on the way out. But we have a lot of interesting things to cover in the chooser. So with any great resource guide, we really know that the great information is in the first few pages and the last few pages. So we're going to really go through the resources that are available to you and also some of the worksheets that you have in your packet that you received when you came in. So looking inside the chooser, I will have the page numbers up here so for those that are at home can follow along. And also, you can see what's going to be on the chooser when you get it. So on page 2, it gives you sort of the quick start guide in the chooser. And this is a really helpful page because you can search through the chooser in many ways. You can look based off of location, you can look based off of test scores, or you can jump straight into the profiles. Or you can do what we're doing today, is really walking through sort of steps that we've created and Great Schools has created for you to really find that right school, that right fit for your child. Page 2 also gives information on the data used for the chooser. So with our K through 8th grade schools, we use the I-STEP test scores, which is the Indianapolis Statewide Testing for Educational Progress Plus. And this is given to grades 3 through 8, and it is measuring the advancement of English language arts, science, and mathematics. It is given to all children in public schools, public charter schools, and private schools that participate in the choice program. For high school, however, they do not take a series of tests similar to the I-STEP. So what we've used for indicators there, the first one is the ECA, which is the end of course assessment, and that's used in Algebra 1 and English 10. And the second indicator that we used in high school was the graduation rates. So you'll see for K through 8, you'll see I-STEP scores in the data, and then for high school, you'll see the graduation rate and the ECA. Pages 3 through 5 are really great resources for you to fully understand. If you're not too familiar with the data or the test students take, Grade Schools has done a great job of kind of outlining how they went about it, kind of saying the differences between the low, middle, and high. And also, as Jody shared, the test data was coming from the Indiana Department of Education. One important thing that I really like to stress to parents is on this page 3, and it's sort of the end of one of the bottom paragraphs. It says, test scores and growth tell a story together. What this means is you might see a school that has a test score of below average, maybe below average in math, but their growth is high in math. So what is that telling you together? That's not telling you to just dismiss that school or, you know, worry about that school. That's actually a great thing to show within a school sometimes. So it's showing that they take and accept students that are below grade level, but they're successful in catching them up and bringing them to at or above grade level. So knowing that those do tell a story together. And then also one great thing that we try to stress is that you should ask your student school leaders, what's the story behind those test scores? So if you know of a really great school, maybe in the chooser, they're just the numbers might not match. Well, that shouldn't stop you from visiting and speaking with the school leader there, finding out, you know, what particular things are going on in that school. So we're really encouraging for parents to look at the whole picture. The next page on 6 and 7, it goes through step 1, which is thinking about your needs. So this in your process, it's giving you a few categories. So it's telling you to look at some extracurricular activities, curriculum, transportation, what's important to you and your family. So Grade Schools does a great job on page 6 and 7 giving you a few categories. And we dive a little deeper in a worksheet that we provided in your packet. So in your packet, you can look at the My Child, My Family worksheet right now. It's the second worksheet in your packet. And here, we really want parents to take some time to think about some of the questions that we have here. Every family is unique, every child's unique, so we really want to find that great fit. We want to walk parents through a few questions using page 6 and 7 and also this worksheet. So some of the questions you want to ask are, what does your child like best about school? Does your child have specific learning needs? What does your child need to feel happy at school? And what type of environment's best for your child? Structured, flexible, what can your child really do well in? How will your child get to school? And what are other family considerations? Maybe you have other siblings, or maybe you really need that transportation component. So we're gonna look at an example. Here we have a student, Philip. He's in third grade, he lives in Center Township, the northeast side. So he loves gym, art, and music. No specific learning needs. He likes school in general, just not math. He needs structure or he will misbehave. I mean, you know your child. If your child's more of a creative soul, then you're going to want that flexibility. But if you know at third grade they really need some structure, that's going to be different for everybody. He's taken to school every morning but takes the bus home. And he needs a school with transportation or an after-school program that lasts until 5:30 when the parents get out. So we do this because you need to know this information before you look into the chooser. The details that we have here on your child is unique, and they're going to help you find out what best school model or programs are needed for your family. So taking the time to think through these important questions and pages 6 through 7 are going to be really important. For example, with Philip, we would know that a few of his must-haves for his school, we'd really want to provide schools that have the art, music, and gym programming. We also know that if he doesn't like math at third grade, that might be an indicator of a weakness in math. So maybe looking for a school that has that high growth, that proven growth in math. And then, of course, you know, looking for a school with an after-school program, I mean, that would, if you're limited, that doesn't limit you as much. So if you had a school with an after-school program, you could go to a wide variety of locations, or else sort of stick into the northeast side of Indianapolis or with an IPS. So it's like whatever works best for your family and knowing what you have to look for, what questions you have to ask. So that leads us to steps two in the chooser. So the chooser lays out these steps, and that's really helpful for parents. And it's just my job to kind of get you to stop, not open to the middle section, look through the student profiles or school profiles right away, and not completely get the full picture of it. So this is why we kind of want to walk through these steps. So step two is understanding your choices. And Kriga did a great job of understanding the main and major choices that you have as a family, really understanding the difference between inner district and your local neighborhood school. And what the guide does, the chooser, they give you on pages 8 kind of bulleted information about each choice. So let's say you go home and you forgot a part of, you know, what a charter school is. You can always reference this page to kind of refresh your memory. So that's a powerful tool for parents. Page 9 gives you information about the tax credit scholarships, what are the requirements, and what is the credit anyway. A lot of people, you know, that I'm encountering don't know what that is, so this is a great resource on page 9 that gives you all the information you need. The same with page 10, it gives you the information on the vouchers. A quick note we really want to add here is that this chooser is for the 2012-2013 school year. However, the income requirements are for the current school year we're in now. So we do have updated information for parents if they're interested in the voucher program. We have that online. And then we also are fortunate to have School Choice Indiana here tonight to answer any questions you may have. So page 11 is really the important page. It's the profile key. It's going to walk you through all the color coding, all the definitions, and it shows you an example of what a school profile looks like. So all school profiles are going to look like what you see on the bottom of this page, but we're going to walk through a profile right now. So here we have School 57, which is George W. Julian School. One thing about the chooser, I'm new to Indianapolis, so I've lived here for about a year. So it was, one, very overwhelming to see all the different types of school districts, and two, I was looking silly calling every school by its full name and no one knowing what I'm talking about. So now you're all going to have to feel the same way because the school is alphabetical. The school list is alphabetical by the full name, so you're going to have to learn the names of some of the schools. So here you have School 57, but it's George W. Julian School. Every school is going to have a little map, and it's going to show you where it is located. So what township or what boundary is it in? Then they're each going to have a bar, and these bars are going to be different colors. They're going to either be dark blue, teal, or light blue. So dark blue showing that it's a district or township school, teal showing you it's a public charter school, or light blue telling you it's a private school. So here we see that it is dark blue, so it's a district school, and in fact it's an IPS school. And on the top right-hand corner, it says it's been open since 1902. So it'll tell you all the years, the year it was established. Next, we have the data graph. So here we see that School 57 is middle in English and math. However, their growth is high. So that's showing us that they're accepting students that are below grade level, but they're successful in catching them up to at or above grade level. Then each school is going to have icons there. So if they don't have any icons, that's telling you they don't have any of these programs, but this school, School 57, shows you that the icons that they represent are sports, computers, art, and music, and library. And this school has all of them. So if that was important, if your child really needs an art class and you don't see the art icon here, that's something to maybe call and find out more information, but that might not be an option for your child. Now every school will have a banner on the bottom, and it kind of gives the school motto or what they're known for. So here we have, we are best known for our foundation, our fundamental program. So the banners really vary, and if that's something you want to learn more about, or you see a school and you have a question about, you know, a banner's meaning, we really suggest, you know, that's one great question to ask when you're visiting. So next, on the left-hand side, you'll see that there's transportation, school size, class size, before and after care, uniforms required, and do they offer a pre-K? So that's really good information for you to know about the school. So you see that they do not offer before and after care, but we still suggest calling a school because maybe the school itself doesn't offer it, but some schools have a program like a Boys and Girls Club in there. So we really, you know, before you eliminate schools that you've heard great things about, you know, it definitely deserves maybe a call to kind of find out if they have the needs you need. Then each school is going to have their enrollment information. So if it's a charter school, they'll have their application deadline. But for IPS, they have their inter-district enrollment, and it says it does accept transfers from other districts. So if the school didn't have the information, the black arrow shows you that every school is going to have their address and their phone number. So you're going to have contact information for every school in Marin County. And the school hours are from 9:05 to 3:40 p.m. So that's very good information for some parents to know because they vary. I know KIPP goes from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So it's really looking at do those times really match your family's work schedule. And then the last thing we have on a school profile is the demographics. So it breaks down by diversity, income level, ESL, ELL services, and special education. So it's a really important box.
ESL, ELL.
Yes, ESL, ELL, so that's English language learner or English as a second language. So if that's something that your family really needs and you notice that a school doesn't offer it, you know, that's definitely something to really take in consideration and know about your child's needs. So there's a lot of information sort of jam-packed in this little profile, and that's why I like to definitely walk through with you guys. But then we also want to make sure that you're calling. And which brings us to our next sort of step in choosing your school, and that would be visiting your top choices. So this page on page 12 in the chooser is really important. It kind of goes over, you know, how do I visit a school, you know, first steps of scheduling, making sure you arrive early, and what things you want to think about. And so Sanford Children has gone a bit further, and we've developed a questionnaire worksheet to really help you through this process. So when we think of a great school, we wanted to break down into common characteristics that we've heard from parents, that we've just seen success nationwide. What are some of those characteristics? So we broke that down from strong principals and school leaders, family and community relationships, safety, a strong learning environment, behavior management, academic performance and rigor. So using that, we created this school questionnaire. So in your packet, if you can turn to the school visit questionnaire. Now, we do realize that this is a very long resource. It's a lot of information. But at the same time, we're going to walk through it so you can kind of see how you can best tailor it to you and your family. We're definitely not requiring you guys to answer every question or go into school with, you know, a big bulky worksheet. We're really wanting you to tailor it and saying circle questions that are really important to you, and we'll go through some of them right now, but really find out what are my child's needs and which one of these do I really need to ask and do I really want to know about my school. So the questionnaire is broken up in a different way. So there's a column to tell you that gives you the sort of area to focus on. What questions can you ask to evaluate that area in a school? And how do I find the information? So you find the information by using the icons that we show you. So that you're going to find the answer either by visiting the school, looking inside the Indianapolis School Chooser, or speaking with friends and family. So our first section that we'll look over are strong principals or school leaders. So we define that as a principal or school leader has a clear vision of the future for the school, high expectations for students and staff, they closely track how well students are doing academically, and support their staff to ensure quality teaching. A strong leader values staff, teachers, and parents as partners. So we broke down a few questions on how we can evaluate that for a school, but let's go over an example. So it says, does a principal make goals clear to parents and staff? Well, how can I figure that out? So we have other questions in italics to kind of lead you to that question. So do parents and teachers know what the goals are for the school and for their students? Any posters around the school encouraging students to do well? Or, you know, when you're there, how much encouragement is sort of on the wall for kids to do well in school? And we see the icon, and the two ways to find this out is either visiting the school or speaking with friends and family. Another question is, does the principal communicate a clear vision for the school? Is the school vision posted somewhere in the school? Do you see that when you walk in? Can a school leader answer clearly when asked? So these are things to really think about and decide, well, if these aren't important to you or any of the questions in that section are, circle that and make sure when you visit you're asking that question. Next, we have strong learning environment. So students are engaged in learning. Principals and teachers expect students to work hard in order to perform well. So do students have learning goals, and do teachers help them meet their goals? So does the student know their learning goals? When you're visiting a school, you can definitely ask questions of students as you are there. Some schools are very used to observers being there. Is there a visual tracking of the goals? So, you know, teachers have sort of that tracking sheet with all the names and stickers, I mean, is there something that they're really tracking for students to learn? And then also ask the teachers how they do this. And again, we see you're finding that out by visiting the school and talking with friends and family. So do you see teachers working with students individually or in small groups? How do they work with individual students to reach their goals? So these are just questions that you can ask, and teachers will give you great information, and you can kind of find out whether or not they're, you know, is that something that you think your child will thrive in? Is there small groups based off of different learning abilities and, you know, ways to promote to the next group? So just learning the learning environment for the school. The last one we'll look over is academic performance and rigor. So the school has high academic standards. They support academic growth in all of their schools at all levels. So what color is the school's I-STEP growth or ECA in graduation rates in the chooser? So notice this one tells you, the little icon is telling you to use the chooser for this specific question. Or does the school provide programs that are appropriate for your child? Do they have special education? Do they have ESL? Do they have gifted and talented programs? So that we say both, use the chooser and visit the school, because all the programs can't possibly be in the chooser. That's just sort of the start. One thing we really want you to notice, and kind of the point we're driving home, is that out of the six categories, if you notice the icons, only one of them is really using the chooser. We really want that chooser to be your base to start looking at schools, but we don't want that to be the sole way that you decide your school. We really want you to use this worksheet and this questionnaire to visit those schools and to really see, because we can't give you through a chooser and a printed guide the feel you get when you're in the school or the culture fit. So that's something that you really have to go in person. So we really wanted to create a great guide for you to feel comfortable and to feel ready to go into the school with some questions. So again, the best way to pick a school is to visit and use the questionnaire and circle questions that you want to ask. On page 13 of the chooser, so you visited the school. Ideally, we'd love you to visit, maybe put five schools down, visit five schools, and then Great Schools has done a great job in step four helping you think about, well, how can I narrow that down? What schools did I really like? What schools can I eliminate? And we suggest applying to at least three schools. That way, bettering your chances to getting into a school that you really liked. Also, we think it's really important to note that studies show that it's better to transfer your child after the school year is over, not mid-year, because it really has bad consequences to their learning environment. Granted, due to extenuating circumstances, you know, that forces you can't control. If you need to transfer your student, you can, but it's just better to wait. Now, we'll show that it's better to wait to move your child, but it's not better to wait to start the process to move your child, because that takes a long time, and we'll go over that soon. So we also have the last worksheet in your packet, which is called My Top Schools. So there we've given you a space to put your five top schools that you saw maybe in the chooser or you heard from friends and family, and these are the schools I want to visit. And then the worksheet just gives you a small space to put the school's name and some notes and to rank them to kind of help you narrow down those three that you want to apply to. Page 14 is a really great source. It gives you the basic information for enrolling your child in a school, so your birth certificate, immunization records, the basic things that most schools need. But also on the bottom part of this page, they give you all the township or district township information for the schools. They give you all the phone numbers, and so you're able to call and get more information. On page 15, they give you the information for the Charter School Association, the Non-Public School Association. So that's a great resource page because you can also call them for any guide or assistance you need. And we're also, again, fortunate enough to have them actually here so parents in the audience can ask some questions after the presentation. Page 16 gives you the enrollment calendar. So this is the part that we're talking about that's important to realize. So if you're interested in an IPS magnet school, this shows here that the deadline is December 15th. So that deadline has passed for this next school year, but knowing that and being geared with that information now can help you for the next school year after that. So it tells you a little bit of information about what's coming up in November and December typically in a school year, what's going on in February and March, and then mid-August and September. So yes, you can still enroll your child to some schools, this coming school year, but some of the deadlines have passed. So this is kind of giving you the general view of the enrollment calendar. But as Craig has said, we're rolling out our next edition of the Chooser for the 2013-2014 school year in November, where all this information will be updated, and then you'll have it on time to really get moving and applying to schools that have that early deadline. So page 17 to 24, Great Schools provides a workbook for families. It's very similar to the sheets we're giving you. It's the same steps, like thinking about the needs, school visits. All we've done was, you know, use that as a basis and dug a little deeper and thought about Indianapolis families and provided that resource for you. We also have it online, and I'll show you where online you can find it and print out more. But it's the same basis. We got it from Great Schools. Again, just dug a little deeper. So it's also in the Chooser. Now, the really exciting part of the Chooser that I think, because as an organizer speaking with parents, really confused about the inter-district transfer and what you can and can't do, and I heard there was a tuition. Like, again, I'm new to Indianapolis, so I came here knowing there wasn't one, but I know a few years ago some did have tuition. So there's a lot of information out there. So on page 128 of the Chooser, we have all that information in one place. So we have all 11 school districts with their inter-district transfer information. Now, when this guide was printed, only two schools didn't allow inter-district transfer, and that was Speedway and Franklin. Well, about 2 months ago, Franklin allowed it. So now, on our next Chooser, you'll have information for Franklin, although here it's saying they don't allow it, but we still gave you their phone number and their website information. So if you're interested in Franklin, they do now do that, and you can call for information. So here you can see some school districts in different townships require maybe academic records or attendance records, behavior records. Some do, some don't. They all vary. But on page 128 and 29, you're going to have all that information for you. Next on page 130, this is where in the beginning, when you can do that quick start, this is where you look for by location. So if you absolutely need a school in Decatur Township, this is where you go on page 130, and they're going to list all those schools here and where in the Chooser their information is. So page 130 and 131, you can find that information. Page 132 would really help Philip. So if we knew Philip wanted or needed a school with high math growth, well, 132 is sorted by test scores. It's sorted by high test scores in English, high test scores in math, then high growth in English, and high growth in math. So you could turn back there, look at the high growth in math, and see all the schools that are successful in that. So that's a really good tool for parents as well. Then on page 136, we have a full list of education-related services for families in Indianapolis, which our great resource was Jackie Garvey from the Partnership Center. So she's here tonight too, so if you have any questions on services or any of these education-related organizations, she'd be a great guide for that. And then the last page, we have the glossary of terms, which is really helpful. So what's a voucher? It's going to tell you here. You need to kind of figure out again what's a public school, what's a charter school. So this is going to give you all those education buzzwords you might hear a lot. But if you need a reference back to what does that mean again, they give you a glossary of terms as well. So that's a really great tool that Great Schools provided. Now, we also have an online component as well. So these resources that we have today for you are available online. Or you have a friend or family member who missed today's session, you really want some extra copies of the worksheets, or the chooser online, this is a great website you can go to, and I'll show you how to access all that information. So when you log into stan.org/Indiana, you come to this page, our homepage. There's going to be this first banner, and there's going to be a little box that says, get a copy of the chooser. So just click that little light blue box in the banner, and it's going to take you to the chooser page. So on this chooser page, you notice right here is a cover of our English chooser. So if you click on that, it'll come up the PDF of our Indianapolis School chooser. And if you click on the next one, the yellow one, it's actually our chooser in Spanish. Then we have the upper right-hand corner says sign up for a training session. So if you wanted to come to a training session, fill out those worksheets, walk through a chooser with me or another trained staff from our numerous partnership organizations, you can see right here we have all upcoming training dates, and then they tell you who to email to RSVP for some of those trainings. Then we also have a map, so you can click that map and it'll blow up to a bigger map of Indianapolis with a bunch of little points coming up. And it's going to be a list of all of our distribution partners where you can pick up a chooser, where you can speak to someone who's been trained to help parents and be an advocate and a resource for them with this school chooser. Then way down below, you can barely see it, it says workshop materials. There is the workshop materials for parents and families. So this is when you scroll down what it looks like. So you have all the worksheets that you have in your hand right now in English and in Spanish available for you to download easily off your computer and print. So I know we kind of went through a lot of information, and we definitely threw a lot at you tonight, but right now we definitely would have we have time for questions, and I would invite Craig and Jody back up. Any questions that you have? We did a lot of background information on the chooser, but if you wanted to walk through some of the worksheets with somebody, then you can definitely visit our website to get that information. So I don't know if anyone had questions. If not, then...
Questions from anybody?
And we did a great job.
Okay, hearing none, a couple of last-minute things we wanted to make sure that we mentioned. Veronica did a great job, and our partnership with the Great Schools and the Chooser, really helpful in indicating that there are some enrollment deadlines for public charter schools, for IPS magnet schools and others. We don't know if all of the seats in some of those schools are full or not. So still in your best interest, if you see a school that you like, even though that, for example, the IPS magnet deadline is December of last year, to still have a conversation with folks there to find out if some of the schools you're interested in still have any available seats. Same with public charter schools that may have already had their enrollment deadline and their lottery or those kind of things. So even though there are deadlines, always good to ask if there are still available spots and places for you. Second thing we wanted to indicate, when we printed the guide, we used the most recent graduation rates for each of the schools. We have an addendum online. Do we have copies of that? Yes, out there.
It's
okay,
in the
great.
Chooser.
When you pick up your chooser on the way out, there's a one-page addendum that will provide updated graduation rates for all the schools. So as you're looking for a secondary school, it'll be important to look at that more recent information. Anytime you print a guide, some of the stuff is going to be outdated the second you print it. That's just part of it, which is why we're so thrilled later on this year we're going to have an online version that will upload and update kind of in real time. But for now, we're doing our best to provide you with updated information, at least with graduation rates, as well as online. There are new schools that are coming online. We've got some new public charter schools. We've got some new magnet options. And we've got some new schools that other entities will be running that used to be formerly district schools that you'll want to check out and see if those might be the right fit. So we have a list of proposed schools that might be opening this upcoming fall that we weren't aware of in printing the chooser. So those are some additional options that are available for you. Last thing that I will say, again, we are just hungry for feedback on how we continue to get better with this. So in exchange for your completed survey, the bottom part there, you get a free chooser. Not that we're charging anybody for them. they're free and available anyway. But if you would please just take a couple of minutes to fill out the bottom part of the sheet that's at the top of your packet so we can get good feedback and information to make this presentation better as we do this in other places around the community. And then you can exchange that as you leave, and you can get a copy of the chooser so that you can then go back and look through it, and hopefully it can be a helpful resource for you. With that, I'm going to say just thank you very much for coming. Thank you for those of you who are online and those of you who may be watching this at a later date. Our goal here isn't necessarily to promote choice, but to make sure that parents have got great information to make great choices on behalf of their kids and find the school, irrespective of what kind of school that is the exact right fit for their child. So thank you for coming. Please take advantage of spending some time with folks that we have from Beech Grove, from IPS, and from Lawrence that are here, for folks from the Public Charter School Association that are here, with folks from School Choice Indiana that are here, as well as any other kind of neighborhood or other kind of kid-based resources that would be helpful. Please see Jackie Garvey. Jackie, you want to wave to folks here so they know who you are? Jackie, can you wave? Thank you. That can just be really helpful in navigating some other resources that you may need for your kids. With that, I think we are finished. Thank you for coming.